Well, we're going to look at First John chapter 4 tonight. Before I read the verses, I want to share a few thoughts. So First John chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 in just a minute. So First John chapter 4, 7 through 11. Let me read you something I wrote down and just a couple thoughts before we read our scripture. I read this. It's been said that the apostles prayed for 10 days and preached for 10 minutes and 3,000 were saved. Today we pray for 10 minutes and preach for 10 days and wonder why we don't have an effect on people. Shake your head if you heard what I said. Amen. Isn't that the truth? We've cut our prayer time down so much that we're not effective for the Lord like we ought to. You know, when we read the book of Acts and we read where they preached and the walls actually shook and the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed them. How often do we see that in our churches today? We see emotions. How often do we actually see the Holy Spirit working? So tonight I'm going to talk to you about prayer. And I'm going to start out with adoration. So again, I went to Webster's and looked at the definition. I'm going to share it again. I know I shared it last week. But it's worshiping or paying homage to God, showing great love, devotion, and respect to the Lord, deep love and deep respect, fondness and warmth and affection and reverence and esteem and glory, and it goes on and on and on. And that's how we adore God. We use words to talk to the Lord when we pray to Him. And as we adore Him, we recognize who God is to us. So I would like to remind you to think about that. Recognize who God is to you. Now, we prayed tonight and I heard some things that God, what He means to us, what He's done for us. But I'm asking you to remember that every single day. Steve, you had a great testimony. You started out in the Word through song. You ended up in school time with the same song. But it also prepared you for tonight. If you hadn't had all that great stuff, then you'd come here ill and ready to worship. So it requires a whole slew of things happening at one time. So we start out adoring God and recognizing who God is to us. And as we do that, we recognize what God has done for us. And if you've committed sin, you've accepted Him as your Savior, you know what He did there on the cross. He died for your sins and everybody else's. So here's my two thoughts, and then we'll get to a scripture. I wrote down, as I'm preparing this, adoration comes easy to people today. Adoration comes really easy to us. And the reason I wrote that, I've never been to a Titans game, but I've seen a Titans game on TV. And you see these big burly men just worshiping and adoring football players. They know everything about those football players. They know when they're born, when they're score touchdowns and all that, and they just seem like they, for the whole four quarters and the before and the after, that's all they do is adore those football players. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I know that they know what they're doing. They know how to adore somebody, and it's usually their hero. And let the Titans play an away game, and then they have to come to church. Notice the wording on that. They have to come to church. And they're the ones least likely to open up their songbook and sing out loud. I can't sing. Yet they could cheer for 3 hours at a Titans game, 4 hours or however long it takes. So adoration comes really easy to us. But sometimes we don't adore the right thing. And that's what 1 John chapter 4 is about. So let's look at the scripture and see what God has to say to us. Starting in verse 7, 1 John 4 verse 7, we'll go through verse 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested or revealed toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or take our place for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So these are some really good verses to adore God with, because you can repeat them and tell God who He is, what He's done for you, and what He means to you. He's love. If you accept Him, then you have that same love in your heart and your life. And it comes out. By the way, you never know what's going to take place on Wednesday night or any other time when we've got the Word of God open. I got a letter this week, a 3-page letter, about a message I preached about a month ago on loving your brother, loving your neighbor. And if you can't love your neighbor, then you don't know the Lord. And these people have not been to our church years and years and years. And God just brought them to Hillcrest Facebook page, and they listened, and got convicted, and said He didn't know whether I would respond to him or not. But I read the 3-page letter, and it's typed, so it's real, it's a lot of words. My heart broke. There's a lot of things, so I wrote him a letter today, responded. It took me about a week to get something from the Lord about that. But you never know what's going to take place just because we're praying out loud, we're praising out loud, or we're giving a testimony out loud, because that thing's on up there right now. And it's recording everything that's said and being done. And it's going out. Somebody is listening tonight. So what has God done for us? Well, the Bible says He loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. He's the propitiation for us. That's a big old word. But all it means, He died. He took our place. He died instead of us. So it's a good place to start in verse 7 and verse 8 to realize what God has done. First of all, my Bible starts out, beloved. Does yours start out something like that? That's pretty special. He's talking to me now. He's talking to you. We're His beloved. We belong to Him. He loves us more than you can imagine. He'd have to. I mean, some of us were so unlovable, we would have never got saved if it had not been for that great amount of love that He had. And then He says, let us love one another. Well, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can't love one another like Jesus does. You don't know His love. So He gave us His love so that we can love one another, so that we can look at those that are rioting and burning down those buildings, and we don't have hatred for them. What do we have for them? We have love, forgiveness. We stand up and tell them they're doing wrong. There's consequences for that, but we still love them. Everyone who loves this kind of love is born of God and knows God. Do you ever stop on a daily basis and thank the Lord for allowing you to know Him, to know His blessings, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness? And I'm not talking about just knowing it. I'm talking about telling it back to Him. Keep on going in verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if we were telling somebody what God has done for us and what He is, according to verse 8, what is God? He describes it, gives us the answer right in verse 8. Verse 8 says, God is love. Not God is powerful, not awesome, but God is love. Now, He is powerful. He is awesome. Don't go home and say that preacher was preaching heresy. God is 100% love. There is no hate in God. There is no confusion in God. There is no playing favorites in God. He's just perfect, pure love. And He loved us in verse 9. And this, the love of God was revealed to us, that He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross to take our place. We should have been punished. We should have lost our life. So as we're praying back to God to adore God, this is time consuming. I'm not saying, Lord, You're the best, and then keep on praying. I'm talking about spending some precious time with the Lord, adoring Him, telling Him what He's done for you, and what he means to you. So he's love, he died for us, he loved us so much. In fact, Romans 5 and 8 says he loved us even when we weren't very lovable and we weren't saved. So thank you, Lord, for that. Verse 11, beloved, again, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Again, I don't know how this affects anybody, but God will take his word and pierce somebody's heart with it. And when he pierces somebody's heart with it, then he has done something for those people. And that's what we need to return back to him in words. Lord, I was unloving, and you love me. Now I know how to love somebody. Give adoration to God for his love. And that takes more than 25 or 30 seconds. If you really think about what God is doing for you and who he is to you, you can spend all day, all week praying just an adoration type of prayer. What about your life? Adore him for your life now and eternal life. It is a blessing to take a breath of God, air right this very moment. That's from God. That's a gift from God. I thank him all the time for the very breath of air I'm breathing right now, because he can take it away just like that. But in the same token, I thank him for that eternal life, because I have a place prepared for me in heaven, and so do you if you're a believer. Can you describe it? I guess you could. Describe it, because it's great. Jesus is there and it's perfect. So describe it to him. Thank him umpteen times a day for dying on the cross for your sins. Every single time you sin, you ought to thank him for dying on the cross for you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for loving us when we're at times very unlovable. So thankful to my Lord. Well, I want to look at some 4 or 5 verses, so I tried to get them in order. So run over to John chapter 6. Not 1 John, but John chapter 6. Look at verse 48. John chapter 6, verse 48. These are things that we can pray back to God. Real simple. I'm praying, Lord, you are the bread of life. What does that mean? Well, describe it to him what it means to you. When we take the Lord's Supper, that is the bread of life we're taking. That is a representation of Jesus' broken body for us. Back in the Old Testament, he became the manna for people that were starving. He is the bread of life. So as we're praying an adoration type of prayer, that's a good place to start. Lord, you're my bread of life. And he feeds us. Remember when he fed the 5,000? Who could do that? With just a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. But God can, and he's been feeding us bread for eternity, and he'll continue to feed us bread. So thank you, Lord, for that. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, I just went through my Bible and picked out verses that you can pray back to him. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. A couple different things in there. Aren't you glad that he's the light? And in him there's no darkness. I don't know if you're scared of dark, but I used to be. When I was growing up in Miami, we had what they call cat burglars. They'd slip in, steal, and slip out. They wouldn't hurt you, but you know, to a fifth grader, that scared the socks off of me. So every night I went to bed with my eyes wide open. I was scared to death to go to sleep. But in Jesus, there's no darkness. Now, we may be surrounded by darkness, but we see the light of God, so we're adoring him. Thank you, Lord, for being the light in the dark. And tell me this, aren't we going through a pretty dark period of time right now? There's hardly anything pleasant going on that we hear about. God is the light of this darkness that's going on during this, the stuff that we're going through. And he is the light of life. That's a really good prayer to pray back to him. God, you are my life, you're the light of my life, you're the bread of my life. Keep on going to John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He becomes the propitiation for us on the cross. So we're adoring him. And don't you know that Christ likes to hear, I'm praying to the good shepherd with your words, saying that out loud. Lord, you're my shepherd. You're my good shepherd. You gave me life. Keep on going to John chapter 14, verse 6. Everybody knows this one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that great? That's a real good prayer to pray to him. He is all those things. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And he pours it out on us. So would you agree with me that that deserves adoration? Nobody else can do that for us. Only Jesus can. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. So there's another praise. Thank you, Jesus, that I have such a relationship with you, that I gave my life to you, that now I can what? Go over and have a relationship with the Father. And then Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. I think everybody knows what this is going to be. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, that's several sermons right there. But those three verses are excellent verses to pray back to the Lord. Thank him for his grace. Adore him for the grace. The saving grace, and it's nothing that we can do we can't earn it, we can't do anything to get this. It's only by his grace that we're saved. So thank you, Lord. Anybody ever heard of Dolly Parton? I was watching a special on her, and they were talking to her about the coat of many colors. We watched the movie couple years ago that she made about the coat of many colors, and the more I hear about her upbringing and the way she loves other people, you know, she's very generous to people. She's been really generous to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and she doesn't expect anything back, but a lot of it has to do with the way she was brought up. So let me read to you the words of the coat of many colors. Back through the years, and these are written by her, by the way, back through the years, I go wandering once again back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors. Every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat. And it was way down in the fall, and mama sewed the rags together so that every piece would love. She made my coat of many colors. That I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told the story from the Bible. She had read about the coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my Mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. Well, it goes on. But the reason I read this to you, that was a loving mama to a daughter, taking just a pile of rags and making her something that she writes a song later on that becomes her theme song, I guess. But what about the coat of color that God gives us as he died for us and makes us a new creation? Every single day we put on that coat of color that God gave us. We are to get out of the world on, act like Christ. Have his coat on. So as we're praying and adoring God, I want you to remember the coat of many colors, not necessarily Dolly's, but yours. God has given us a tremendous father would know that she wore that coat to school and people made fun of her. They didn't realize what it cost mama to make it. They were poor, the love that went into it. That's the same way with our Christian walk. We put that coat on, we go out yonder, we got that coat on, and people make fun of us. They don't have any earthly idea what happened on the cross for us. So this week, wear your coat with honor and glory. Let me close with this story that has nothing to do with this. Last night, Ron and I watched Courageous again. When was the last time you watched Courageous? It's been so long we forgot a lot of it. It's about being a godly daddy, being a godly husband, and taking the pledge to walk in obedience and be the kind of godly man that the men ought to be. Well, you know what I was thinking about that whole movie? My dash. It was terrible to watch that movie thinking about my dash. I hope that y'all have thought about your dash this week. You know, it's a simple little message. There was a lot of stuff to that dash. Watch Courageous again and you'll really think about your dash, dads. Let's pray. Father Almighty, thank you for this time to be with you. And I pray your blessings on each one. I pray, Lord, safe travels on the way home. And Father, whatever time's left for us tonight, I pray it would just be a time of joy and peace. And Lord, we get a good night's rest and get ready to serve you in the morning. Provide for us our needs in the morning, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name.